Well, all right. Welcome to Paul Alive Past and Present. Glad you were able to tune in. This is Eric Ortega. I'll be your host. And this show is about Paul Alive, both past and present. That's why I'm calling it Paul Alive Past and Present. I know some of you are probably wondering why a show like this. What is Eric going to talk about today? Well, I'll tell you, I've always been fascinated with history. Not history as a whole, but history of things. A person's biography, a city's history, a word's history, even the history of some laws, some things that are out of the ordinary have always intrigued me. Some things happen and you go, well, that's just normal, whatever. But every now and then so you come across something that is unusual or compelling, and that's why you end up wondering, where did that come from? How did that happen? Things like that have always intrigued me. So when I started talking about doing a show about Paula, I wanted to talk to different people about how Paula became Paula, you know, different things that occurred in the past and compare that to different things of today. I talked about a city's history, Los Angeles and New York, two totally different cities, large cities, populous cities, but yet very different. And it's because of their beginnings. They had different beginnings. California is treated different from New York. Mission Indians are treated different or are referred to differently as the Plains Indians. Also to a word's history, you know, some words have different pronunciations, different meanings, and those kind of things have always kind of intrigued me on certain words that sound strange, like how did that word come around? Well, words have different origins. Some of them are Latin origin, some of them have a Greek background, some of them have English background, or I guess that's Latin, but some of them have a Native American background or Germanic background, and those are all different languages that they come from. Also, you have laws come around that are very strange. For example, did you know that out there in Alabama, there's a law against driving a car with a blindfold? And you go, well, why would you have to make a law against that? Well, something happened. I don't know what, but like I say, one of these days I'll look into that. The funniest part about that law, though, is over in Europe, the country of Luxembourg has the same law. You can't drive while wearing a blindfold. Definitely have to see why that's connected, or if that's connected. Probably the same person caused it, you would think. But anyway, so stuff like that has always intrigued me. So when you started talking about Paula, and I do this all the time when I go out and talk to people, we'll talk about how, oh man, look at how it is right now. And remember back in the day? Well, you know, you always hear those old stories about how people used to walk to school in the snow, uphill both ways and barefoot. I don't know if it was exactly like that, because for one thing, it doesn't snow very often in Paula. But you still want to know how things were, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And maybe you can kind of relate it to how things were maybe 100 years ago. I wasn't here 100 years ago, and I probably won't be here 100 years from now. But yet, over the past 40, 50 years, we can talk to people and find out how things were back then and how things are now. And that's basically the basis of the show. Another thing that I'm going to cover in the show is touch on some of the Carpeño language. In this show, I'll be taking in some words, using some words in Carpeño and in English, and then use them in some phrases. And then a new touch, going to be using them in some sentences, Carpeño as well as English. And if I can, I'm going to find some songs that use those words and phrases in them. This first show, we're going to talk about Jemishatahim Kupanga, which is a word for we are the people from Kupa. But we'll get into that a little bit more later on. So now, I just want to welcome you all to the show and hope you have a great time. Now, here are a couple of disclaimers. I'm not a historian, first of all. I just like talking to people about how things were and then ask them to compare to how things are. Secondly, I'm not up to judge things, to say whether something is better or worse. I leave that up to the politicians to say whether or not something's better or worse. I just like hearing stories about Paula people and Paula events. And most notable thing about these conversations is the fact that things change over time. That's all I'm trying to say. Things change over time. An example of change that I know of was when I was young. If someone said they were going to town, everyone knew they were going to Escondido. Now, I run into most Paula people up in Temecula. And I tell you, when I was younger, wasn't much in Temecula. But that's just an example of how things have changed. So, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Now, let's talk Carpeño.
Nothing fancy, just some words and phrases that I learned while growing up here in Paula. When I was younger, there were classes by Rosinda Nolasquez, and later on there were some classes by Eric Elliott, and all in between there was the book Mulawatam. My dad got me my first copy of Mulawatam. I'm not sure where he got it from. I think he got it from the tribe or bought it or something. But anyway, the book Mulawatam was, of course, written by Rosendo Velasquez and Jane Hill. In the book Mulawatam, there's a dictionary, stories, and songs, along with some compendial translations, And this book is what I'll be using to organize the compendial words that I'll be using on the show. People in the Pali community have helped me with pronunciations of the compendial words as well, and I want to give a big thank you out to all of them, all of whom will be guests on the show. Again, I don't claim to speak the compendial language fluently. However, I do know some words, and I'm just trying to show off what I was taught as a child growing up in Pala. Also, along with that, if there were some words that you want, that you know, and you want them to be used on the show, go ahead and give me a call at 760-742-4200. Or you can email me at eortega@palatribe.com. And I'm going to have a word, a phrase, and a song in every show. And I think that's pretty exciting, something new and different, something that only you can find only on KOPA 91.3 Res Radio in Pala. Okay, so the first word of the show and the first show of a series is cheme. Cheme. You've probably all heard the phrase before. It's cheme, and the Mulawatam, it's a pronoun. It's spelled C-H-E-M-E. Cheme means we. Not the game we. It means us as a people, us as a group of people. And so cheme, meaning we, it works as a pronoun. It also works as a modifier. It adds on to other words. So like you take the word na, N-A, that means father, and you would say chemna, chemna meaning our father. That phrase has been used before. A lot of you have probably heard that. So now you have two words in the compendial language that actually connect together to make one word, cheme, meaning we, and na, meaning father, and you got chemna, meaning our father, and that would be our first phrase that's on our show, chemna. After that, you got some sentences that come up. Here's another one. It's cheme shatahim kupanya. Cheme shatahim kupanya breaks down to three separate words that actually break down into a lot of other English words. Chemish is we. Atahum is actually the plural form of ataha, meaning a person, a living person, or an entity, a person. So atahim is people, living people. So you got chemish atahim kupanya, meaning we are the people from Kupa. Now, Kupanga is a phrase that breaks down from, it means Kupa, and then the NG at the end, NG suffix at the end makes it from, meaning from that place. So you got Chemishatahim Kupanga, and I know that NG at the end of it is a little hard to say, but it's the NG like in finger. So you want to say Chemishatahim Kupanya to mean we are the people from Kupa. And this phrase you actually see on the flag over at the porte cochere in front of the casino. That's where the valet is at. And then you also see it on the flag that's hanging in the Kupa Culture Center. And along with the phrase on there, it also has it in English and underneath. Subtitles, I guess, in English, if you want to call it that. Chemishatahim Kupanya. Now, that's our first phrase, our first show, and we'll probably be using that more often. So, cheme shatahim kupanya. And for a little recap, we got cheme, meaning we. Remember, there's a phrase, the word na, N-A, meaning father. And na is one of those words, from what I understand it, it doesn't stand by itself. A father is not just a father. It has to be somebody's father or a father of something. So, na doesn't usually stand by itself. You have it's always attached to a pronoun, meaning chemna or pemna or some of the other pronouns that define who's the word father referring to. So there we go. That's our Cupeño lesson phrase. And you've got to remember, this is my first show, so hopefully we'll be able to cover these words again and get a little bit more involvement from the community. I won't have to be doing these shows by myself. Hopefully we get somebody else in here to discuss these words more in depth. And so I hope everybody's enjoying this so far. And now I'm going to have a real treat for everybody. This is the second part of our show where we're going to actually use a song that uses the phrase Chemishatahim Kupanya in it. And that song is actually donated by Paul Miranda. He sings it. Several groups actually sing it here in Paula. And I hope y'all enjoy it.
Chemishatahim Kupanya Nishmalahati Ketam Tamakate Mawikala Amaya Yaya Amaya Yaya Chamaya Wachamaki Chamaya Wachamal Moki No Krishna Nakamiya Amaya Yaya Amaya Yaya E Moya Miya E Moya Pukavi E Moya Tunakish Amaya Yaya Amaya Yaya Chemishatahim Kupanya Nishmalahati Ketam Tamakatema Vikala Amaya Yaya Amaya Yaya Chemaya Wachamaki Chemaya Wachamal Muki No Krishna Nakamiya Amaya Yaya Amaya Yaya E Moya Miya E Moya Pukavi E Moya Tonakish Amaya Yaya Amaya Yaya Chemishatahim Kupanya Nishmalahati Ketam Tamakatem Mavikala Amaya Yaya Amaya Yaya Chemaya Wachamaki Chemaya Wachamal Muki No Krishna Nakamiya Amaya Yaya Amaya Yaya E Moya Miya E Moya Pukavi E Moya Tunakish Amaya Yaya Amaya Yaya.
All right, that was a great song by Paul Miranda. He donated that song to us. I talked to him about it, and he was happy to help us out and give us that song. And great job, Paul Miranda. Okay, now we'll take you to the last part of our show, which is an interview with Jane Blackman. I had a chance to talk with her over at the senior luncheon. And one thing you'll notice is that they were actually doing cleanup at the end of the luncheon. I didn't want to take up too much of Mrs. Blackman's time, so I actually interviewed her right there. And in the background, you can kind of hear everybody working, putting pots away and stuff like that. But I hope that doesn't distract you from the interview that we had. It's a great interview. Jane Blackman, she's talking about the holidays on how they were when she was a child. So, Jane Blackman, how was it when you were growing up? How was Christmas and some of the other things that were going on? So, what do you remember about Christmas when you were growing up?
Having like the community party, you know, mm-hmm. And then have and would get those bags of it had an orange, an apple, and that Christmas candy, that hard candy, you know. And that's what we'd get for Christmas, and that was just a big thing, you know, to me.
Well, who gave those out?
The tribe.
Oh, the tribe, yeah?
Uh-huh. That's all I remember as far as the tribe, you know. And at home, we just had a regular Christmas, you know. No, nothing, no.
So gifts, you guys had like a, did you guys have like a regular cut tree or a...
cut tree, yeah.
Cut tree. Mm-hmm. Did you guys go out and cut your own tree or buy it?
No, the tribe bring them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They used to go up to Morgan Hill.
Oh, the tribe would get trees for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they got them. And then, remember when Palma, I don't know if they gave that land to Palma or however, anyway, we didn't get them anymore.
How about New Year's Day? What did you guys do for New Year's Day?
It was just another day.
Just another day?
Yeah.
Holiday from work or school? And
oh, when I got older, we never did do anything. No, nobody owned cars, so you didn't go anywhere, you know.
Everything was just right here, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Until we moved away, you know, but I mean, otherwise, we were just home. I mean, it was like not anything that special, you know.
So,
Christmas, was the most, you know.
Where were you living at when you had those Christmases? I know you weren't across the river then, right?
No. I stayed at my grandmother's, and then I stayed at my mom's where Melvin lives now. Mm-hmm. And then we also lived at Dorothy's, right, next to my grandmother Biggs, you know. Do you remember her?
Mm-mm.
Down there across from Sivas, that red house.
I remember the red house.
Yeah, and then next door, Dorothy lived.
Okay.
And sometimes, you know, we would live there, or my grandmother's, or my mom's house.
And that's when you would get those things from the little packages from the tribe?
Uh-huh. They had like a community party, you know?
And that would be at the tribal hall?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Who was chairman at the time, do you remember? A lot of times kids don't remember who's chairman.
Probably, I don't remember, probably Julia. Julia Kalak.
Okay.
Probably her. I don't remember who else it was, but I remember her being chairman at one time.
How about some of the other holidays, like Thanksgiving back then?
We just all ate together, you know, like maybe at my mom's, or depending on when it was, maybe my sister's, you know, Dorothy's.
Mm-hmm. I think of 4th of July. Did you do the trek down to Oceanside when you were younger to see the fireworks?
4th of July?
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember they used to have like a carnival and stuff down there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It was right there at the beach, right down there where you go in, where that auditorium is, like, or something, where they have, it used to be right there.
Right below the pier where the
pier
starts?
Yeah, right there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I remember there was, I was on the Ferris wheel one time and you could see the trains come through and everybody would stop and, you know, look at the trains and stuff.
Yeah.
What else did they have down there? I can't remember now. I remember the Ferris wheel. That's all I remember.
Yeah, I just remember a carnival and then people ate down there, you know. Some people took their own food. Then you'd walk down the pier, of course. I don't know how many times I've been down that pier. Yeah.
And that pier is different now than what it used to be, because I remember it washed out one year, or at least one year that I know of, probably several times.
Doesn't it have a restaurant down there now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you been down there lately, to the restaurant and stuff?
No. I'd like to go down there. I haven't been down there.
It's wide now. I remember when I was younger, it wasn't that wide, so it's a lot wider now.
Kind of like sometimes you have like a hole in there you could see.
Mm-hmm. It's still that way.
Is it?
Well, not holes, but cracks.
Yeah, cracks.
And I see like... they have like security or maybe it's a sheriff's car or something. They drive down there to the end and then in a little like golf cart.
Oh.
So there's ways to get down to the end without having to do the walk.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. I'm going to have to. We should go down to Otis.
There's a little restaurant down there at the end. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Remember a long time ago they used to have boxing matches down there at that thing on the
spot. Oh, down at the auditorium or whatever it is. Remember where the carnival was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They had boxing matches there?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then too, they had like under the bridge here, not the bridge, but that same part there, they had a place there where you could barbecue. You remember that?
Yeah, they had those like stand buildings.
Yeah, but I mean inside, like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was like a little, I don't remember, a room. I don't remember exactly how it was, but it was a room and you could go in there and barbecue or cook.
Cool.
But, yeah, we used to go down there and just walk down the pier. That was the thing you had to do.
You know,
that's why that was so important to us, was that's what we got, because we didn't get presents at home, you know. Maybe once in a while you might get, like, I remember one year my godmother gave me a homemade dress. She made a dress for me, you know. And she gave me a ribbon for my hair, I remember, and... even a pair of socks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a big thing, you know. I remember one time from my aunt in La Jolla, I got a doll. And it was one of those kind that's one side, you lift up the skirt and it's a black doll. And the other way, it's a regular doll.
I've seen those.
Yeah.
So it was like a head in each direction.
Yeah. I thought that was just something.
I never had one.
Yeah.
But I have seen
that one a long time ago. Yeah, and then I remember one time I got a doll. It was my first real new doll, you know. I mean, it was really bought for me, you know. Oh my God, it was so beautiful. I thought it had this long white dress on, and I forgot and left it outside. Uh-huh. And it is all cracked. You know, I mean, you know how they come up, sort of like...
Oh, bubble?
Yeah, and so I remember I put, I think it was Vaseline on it, you know, and that thing went down. I guess it just made it soft, so it just flattened out, you know, and I thought I cured it, you know. But that was, I'll never forget that doll. But we didn't have any money, so if we got one thing, we thought that was something, you know. But I always remember them stockings from the tribe.
Mm. And who's your godmother? You said your godmother gave you something.
Oh, Juanita Freeman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's my godmother. I remember she made that. It was a pink dress. I'll never forget that. But she was a good seamstress, you know. So, well, they had to then, you know.
Yeah, my mom would make my brother his clothes. And she'd make her own dresses, too. A lot of her dresses and stuff she made by herself. Not really sophisticated stuff, you know, but just something to wear.
It was all practical, you know.
So where'd you go to school at?
I went to Bonso. And in the summertime, I went here with the priests. We have the priests and the sisters.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we went to school there. And that was a big thing, too, because we got to do, like, crafts and things like that, you know?
Well, it was more fun. Summer
school, yeah. It was more fun, yeah. And I remember we used to do that, like, copper. We did, I remember doing that and different things like that, you know? That was fun.
Did you ever go to Sherman?
Yeah, I went to Sherman. Mm-hmm. I went to Sherman in the 7th grade.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And 7th through the 10th, then I came back to Fallbrook. That's why I never knew nothing. I never learned anything in Sherman.
No.
They put me in a class from Bonsall. I was real good, so when I went to this one class, I got A's, straight A's, but I didn't learn anything because it was all like
remedial
old stuff, like two and two, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a little bit better now, but
yeah,
at that time, I think they were just trying to gear them things toward remedial stuff.
Yeah.
Did you ever do, like, homemaking?
We went to school half a day and worked half a day. I worked for Mrs. McGee, Prudence. Okay. I worked in the laundry for her. And then I cleaned houses, too.
Up in Riverside?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I cleaned her house. And I cleaned Father's at the church there.
Oh,
and then I worked in the laundry. Straight A's I got.
In housekeeping and laundry.
Yeah.
So they graded you on that, huh?
Yeah. I remember going to Father's on Saturdays and cleaning his house. And he used to smoke.
Oh.
You know, you could smell that smoke in his house.
You know, my dad, he used to come down and watch me play wrestle and play football and stuff, and a lot of times Big Wayne or somebody would bring him down. Remember Big Wayne? And he chewed tobacco and stuff like that. Like, but he was good with my dad, and my dad would give him like $5 for gas to go down there. And you think about it now, $5 of gas was like two tankfuls of
money.
And nowadays that'd be like $150, two tankfuls of gas.
Yeah.
Although he did have that little Volkswagen or whatever it was. He drove a little car, Big Wayne did.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit better on gas than most cars. But yeah, the whole idea of that, I give you $5 for gas. And I think about it now, I was like, man, that $5 was a lot of money for gas. Way more than what you needed for gas.
Yeah.
Now people are like, I'll give you $10 for gas, and that barely gets you here and back.
Yeah.
You better give them $20 for gas. You know? That way they can have a little bit for themselves.
Gas is supposed to go up, too, they said.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that was how Christmas was back then. How about Christmas today?
Oh, my gosh, Christmas today. Christmas tree is all full of presents.
A lot of presents. Everybody comes to your house
now. With the family, we have dinner. Mm-hmm. You know, we go to Midnight Mass. Still, I seen you at Midnight Mass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I know this year they sang the Tukmak Chi, but they left the lights on. Usually when they're going to sing the Silent Night in Compania and stuff, they'll turn the lights off to kind of give it a little bit of ambiance and everything. Kind of scary, I guess, for some of the kids. But
yeah, but it was nice. We go, the grandchildren and me, we go to Midnight Mass. We're making that a tradition, you know, to make sure we go. Because as kids and growing up, I've always gone to Midnight Mass.
Yeah, me too. Midnight Mass was always one of the things that kind of everybody got together.
That's what you did, you know,
And then, but you always wanted to rush to Midnight Mass because after you got home was when you could open your presents, you know, after you get home from Midnight Mass. So I still make my kids do that today. And I don't know if you do, but...
No, we don't, but we used to get to open one present after a while, just one present, then the rest of that have to wait till morning, the next day. But no, what we do is... They wake us up. Of course, the older they are, it's not so bad now. But when they were kids, 6 o'clock or whatever it was, you know, they'd wake you up. And we go over to Denise's house and open their presents there. Then we come back to my house and they open the presents there. And then we start cooking dinner. But that's what we do now.
Well, you know, the difference when you were younger, you probably went to somebody else's house for dinner. Now that you're older, everybody comes to your house at some point.
Yeah, and Wade was home too.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. He wasn't at Midnight Mass though, was he?
No, he didn't go. He was gonna, but he was tired, so he went to sleep, so he didn't get to go.
My boys, they'll stay up for Midnight Mass, and they're like, and I go, now if anybody goes to sleep, you don't have to wait till the morning to open your presents. And they're like, okay, we're awake. And then they get home and we get to the house and then we start opening the presents and everything like that. And by the last ones are opening the presents, they're like, oh, yay. You know? Then they get their presents and stuff. And then we make them clean up, you know, put everything into a trash bag, all the trash. But we don't throw the trash out because you never know if something's missing.
Yeah, I know.
Then they go into their room and stuff like that. And the next morning they're waking up late, but they got all their toys already, stuff. You know,
Yeah.
But yeah, they're so tired when they're opening their presents. But we take pictures. And, I always have on my Santa hat, and I'm the big elf.
Oh, gosh, yeah. But that's what we do. We just go back and forth in the morning, and then we'll put our food on, and then we'll have dinner, like, in the afternoon, maybe 3 or something like that.
How about, Fourth of July now, you don't go down to Oceanside now, do you?
No.
Because we have all the stuff here now.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have like a dinner and stuff for 4th of July? Or
no,
just,
we don't really. Well, I guess we do. We eat at Denise's every Sunday. Okay. So it's kind of like 4th of July there, you know. We eat, have a dinner with everybody on Sunday night. They eat the barbecue, or like last night we barbecued steaks.
Okay.
And I had that. On our birthdays, we go to dinner somewhere. Whoever's birthday it is, they can pick wherever they want to go, and we go there.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And in the old days, it was just at the house. No, nobody. We didn't go out that often, or did you guys go out? No?
Well, nobody really had cars, you know.
Yeah, everything was right at the house.
And Easter, well... We just go to church and have them. We used to have Easter egg hunts when we were younger, but now we just have dinner at home.
All right. Thank you, Jane, for that interview. That was great. And I hope the distractions in the background didn't bother anybody. Some words of wisdom from Jane Blackman. I want to thank you all for tuning in and listening to this show. And hopefully in the future we get some more feedback. And, we need some feedback to make sure that this show is going on great. This is Eric Ortega signing off from Paula Life Past and Present. And remember, if you want to give me a call, 760-742-4200, or you can email me at eortega@paulatribe.com. And looking forward to your feedback, both positive and negative. We always know there's room for improvement, and I definitely know I need room for improvement. So any help I can get would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much, and talk to you guys later. Bye.